Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of the Red and White Podcast Fan Reaction Special, brought to you by Chronicle SAFC. I'm host Craig Johns, and today we have a host of Sunderland fans ready to talk about Saturday's action as Sunderland drew 1-1 with Ipswich at Portman Road. If you didn't already know the score, yes, I'm not having you on. It was another 1-1 draw for Sunderland. Yet another 1-1 draw. It's getting quite hard to believe, and certainly the negativity among supporters, as I'm sure you'll come to hear. I think negativity, that makes it sound like, excuse the phrase, but it almost has negative connotations. But to be fair, I think this negativity that's hanging over the club at the minute, you know, fans aren't happy, and I think in many respects, you know, they're totally entitled to be negative about what's happening at the club. We knew it was going to be a difficult start of the season, but because of what happened last season, they almost needed a good start. Of course, Ipswich, where they were on Saturday, they were always going to be one of the promotion favourites along with Sunderland, and perhaps before the game, certainly before the Oxford draw, where you would have hoped that you would have picked up 3 points on the opening day at home to Oxford, you would have almost took a 1-1 draw, I think, away at Ipswich, because they are promotion rivals, if you'd have beaten Oxford. Of course, they didn't beat Oxford, and then to compound that misery, to anybody who watched the game, I'm sure they'll agree, particularly in the first half at Portman Road, Sunderland were absolutely terrible. Ross has came in on a lot of stick. He stuck with the 5-3-2 formation, 3-5-2, however you want to define that. Probably not even as simplistic as 3-5-2, to be fair, but he stuck with his three at the back that he tried in pre-season, tried at Oxford, and yet again, it didn't work at Ipswich, and I would imagine that will be the end of that formation. Now we shall see going forward, but it certainly doesn't look to be working, and I'm sure many of our guests on today's podcast will mention the formation. But yeah, certainly still a lack of creativity within the team throughout the game, and even in the second half where they did improve, they still weren't brilliant. It was still hard to watch, and they still weren't creating numerous chances. The Sunderland's own goal, another goal for Lyndon Gooch, his second of the season now, one positive to take from the game perhaps. That came from a mistake at the back from Ipswich. Credit to Mark McNulty, he closed the defender down, got the ball off the defender at the defender's own corner flag, cut into the box, laid it across, and Gooch had the simple task of tapping home. So credit for showing that character that we saw a lot last season. That's clearly still there within the squad, even though big members in the dressing room like Lee Catmull left in the summer. Clearly there is still a lot of character within that team to get back into games. But certainly it is concerning now that two games in a row, first two games of the season, slow starts, going 1-0 down. And I mentioned in last week's podcast that, you know, it's obvious. You go 1-0 down in a game, you're making it harder for yourself. If you're going to win the game, you then have to score two. And you're chasing the game, and when you're a team like Sunderland, you know, we've seen the time-wasting tactics. Teams can shut up shop a bit, go a bit more defensive, get more players behind the ball, leave less space for Sunderland to work in. So it really is a concern, this not starting games quickly and going behind 1-0. But anyway, that's just a quick brief summary from me of what happened on Saturday. Of course, this is all about the fans, and to kick things off with our fan views, fan reactions of the game, we're going to hear from Carl.
Generally, a 1-1 draw away at a promotion rival isn't a bad thing. However, I've got the feeling the scoreline might just be yet another stick to beat the manager with. Now, I listened to the game on the radio, and it sounded again as if we struggled with three at the back, and it did improve when it was changed to a four. It's becoming a bit of an issue now, but in general, I mean, I'll try to put our start into like a little bit of perspective. I mean, we had Oxford at home, against a side which we struggled in both matches last season to beat. Ipswich, which would be like a way to one of the favourites for the league and have just came down from the league above, so they're always going to be fairly strong. And Portsmouth, who we've had plenty of close contests with last season, with not a lot in the games between us. So for me, this was always going to be a tough start of the season. I'm not making excuses, as I feel we should be getting better performances from this squad. But considering some of the comments I've seen online, it's like, I really don't want them hounding out Jack Ross after two games. It's like, at the very least, how about 10, you know, like give them a little bit chance to get going over the course of a season. It's like, I understand the nervousness around, like with our fans and in the stadium, but like that kind of atmosphere isn't really going to help anyone. And like I say, I don't necessarily think we're getting the best of performances at the minute, but just give them a little bit of time to bring it back round. But I mean, back to the game, like it sounded like a lot of the similar issues from the Oxford game, and like the defence didn't sound completely solid, and we didn't create a whole load of chances in attack, and we seem to have different players, but we're running into similar problems from last season. So like for me, if we're still playing like this in a few games time, then I'm going to be majorly worried. But for now, I'm happy to just put it down to like a bad few games and a bit of a sluggish start the season. I mean, generally we don't start, aside from last season, we generally don't start seasons too quickly. But at least Gooch is getting in the box and scoring goals. It's like it might have been like a tap in, but still he's getting forward to support McNulty. And again, great work by McNulty to end up setting that up when it just seemed to be like a kind of hopeful long ball that he's managed to hurry the defender into like taking it off. I've got to say, Hume at a left back is becoming a huge concern, especially with no cover in that area. We need a sign in there to give him a bit of competition or a bit of assistance. Like, I don't know whether we're going out, if we'd go out to get a left back or a left wing back, whether those are two different characteristics that you'd look for. But we definitely need more competition in that area, as at the minute, it's a struggle and we don't have many options in that part of the pitch. Now, on to Portsmouth on Saturday, which, like I said before, will be a tough game. And hopefully it'll be the kind of game that brings out a performance from the players to like ease all of our minds as fans just a little and make it hopefully seem like it might not be too much of a slog. But even if we do get beat, which I obviously hope we don't, we can then kick on and try to go head on into a bunch of what on paper look like easier fixtures to try to get more points on the board and generate a little bit of momentum. How are the lads?
Thanks very much to Carl there for his thoughts. Yeah, some good points. I think he puts into perspective well the start. It hasn't been the easiest of starts. It hasn't been the greatest of starts as well. I think I mentioned at the start there you'd maybe have taken a 1-1 draw, certainly at the start of the season away at Ipswich, but the manner of the performance, I think, is what's concerned so many people. But I do think some perspective and a little bit of time, hopefully this team can come well. I think you see a lot of people talking about the record in 2019 as a whole, and for me personally, I just think you kind of almost need to write off the records of last season, particularly when they're saying we haven't won for this many games and things like that, because I think, you know, towards the end of the season in particular, at last season, there were so many games in such a small period of time because of their involvement in the Checkered Trade Trophy. Towards the end of the season, when automatic promotion went out of the window, players down tool and the lost the last two games, and that was kind of the players almost. I think many of them spoke about how they probably didn't mean to do it, but just kind of subconsciously they kind of held back a little, knowing that there was three then important games to come. So I think almost you kind of, it's a new season now, you almost have to put them kind of records and things like that, just put them to bed, because it doesn't matter, this is a new season now. There's a few new players there. Ross has tried a new system to try and eradicate the problems of last season. That new system, as Carl's mentioned there, hasn't been working, and I think we do need to what that system is. I don't know. I think Ross needs to find a system that gets the best out of this Sunderland team, those Sunderland players, both defensively and attack-wise, because at the minute he hasn't yet found that balance, and that's something that Sunderland are desperately going to need. But yeah, thanks very much to Carl, and next up we're going to hear from Kev.
Different week, same old story for Sunderland. 1-1 draw away at Ipswich Town. Where do you start with that? An absolutely shambolic first half yet again. The manager is completely clueless. Doesn't have a clue what he's doing. Doesn't have a clue who his best 11 is or his best formation. He had to change it again after 20 minutes. We all know three at the back just isn't working. It's square pegs and round holes. It's players playing out of position. He needs to scrap that. Luke O'Neill played in about two or three different positions today, basically because the manager picked the wrong team selection. It was a defensive shambles yet again. Willis, Flanagan, and in particular Conor McLaughlin had an absolute shocker today. Ozturk needs to come in for Flanagan. Flanagan's been all over the place the start of this season. His distribution's terrible. His positional play is awful. He needs to go out. Ozturk needs to come in. Willis, I haven't been impressed with him in the two league games. I think he's been pretty poor. Conor McLaughlin was absolutely diabolical today. He tackled himself in the first half when no one was near him. Pretty much summed up his performance. He's not a centre-half. He is a regulation right-back, so you can feel sorry for him a little bit, but not good enough. John McLaughlin had a poor game today, I thought. Really poor for the goal. He shouldn't have been beaten from that angle. It was really poor defensively, but he should not have been beaten from that angle. Chris Maguire, big bright spark when he came on. Should be starting, like I've said, week in, week out. He's got that bit quality that can unlock defences. I think he showed that in glimpses when he came on. Played a part in the goal. It was great play by McNulty for the goal. Great persistence, capitalised on the mistake. Put it back for Lyndon Gooch, and Gooch couldn't really miss. It's 2-2 for Gooch, so it's a bright start of the season for Gooch, which is good to see. But yeah, overall, I'm happy with the point. You take the point away to one of your promotion rivals. It's not a bad result, but if you're looking at the performance, it's very, very worrying yet again. It's a manager who's totally out of his depth, and he reeks of incompetence. It really does. Chopping and changing like that. We've seen it towards the end of last season. You know, after 50, 60 games, he didn't know his best 11. He didn't know his best formation. You've seen it again at the start of this season. It's chaos. It's disarray. And I think the owners have to take a lot of flak as well, because I don't think the players we've got are good enough. We really are lacking in terms of creativity. You've got to put your hand in your pocket. You've got to put your hand in your pocket and invest. We haven't invested. We're penny pinching. And it's not good, I'm afraid. Other teams have spent a little bit of money. The only player we've signed for any money is Dobson. Now, if you don't invest at any level, you'll come a cropper eventually, because you get left behind. Now, I'd like to really see us splash out for a creative player, like maybe Marcus Madison or someone like that, or a top striker, someone like John Marquess or someone like that. I'd really like to see us invest, because I think we really need to, because we're not going anywhere otherwise. That's 2-1-1 draws. It's continuing that trend from last season. I'm just bored, to be honest. I'm bored of talking about the same things week in, week out. I'm bored about watching this Sunderland side. It's very uninspiring. We had 2-3 shots on target all game. Today, it's not good enough. We were second best to Portsmouth. Second best in terms of the energy levels, in terms of the creativity and the shots on target. It's not good enough. It's really not good enough. He needs to learn, Jack Ross, but he's not learning. I really want to see the back of him. I'm just bored. Really bored. It's hard to defend him. The more I come on here week in, week out, I am being negative, but it's because I'm seeing negative tactics. I'm seeing negative performances. I think a lot of fans do start to agree with us now, and I think even those that are sort of defending Jack Ross now are beginning to see the light. They're beginning to see the fact that he plays very boring and inspiring football. They're beginning to see the fact that he's chopping and changing with his formation because he doesn't really have a clue. the games are coming thick and fast. We've got a game obviously on Tuesday night in the League Cup, which you'll obviously ring the changes, which is fair enough. We don't really have that as a priority this season, so he will ring the changes. Aidan McGeady didn't look fit for me today. He definitely looked like he was lacking match practice. He struggled. We struggled in the midfield today. Really, we didn't really get much of a grip. And it's on to next Saturday in Portsmouth, and it really is a much must-win game now. The top sides in this division have got 6 points. We've got two. We're well on the way to that 19 draws that came from last season. We have to get the ground running. We have to get 3 points on the board, and hopefully we can do that.
Thanks very much to Kev there for his thoughts. Obviously, very opinionated and frustrated Kev there. To be fair to Kev, he has he's spoken to me many a times about his thoughts on Jack Ross, and for quite a while now he's not been too happy with Ross's management of the club. And although I personally disagree, on a personal level, I think Jack Ross does need a little bit of time, just a little bit more time, new season. Let's see where it goes. There is, as Kev says, now a lot more people starting to side with him and starting to question Jack Ross, which is completely fine. Football is a game of opinions at the end of the day. Because I want Jack Ross to stay at this moment in time does not mean that I am right and Kev is wrong. Absolutely not. The one thing I do want this podcast to, or have always wanted this podcast to be, is a place where supporters feel that can come in and air their views, air their opinion, and not to kind of censor any opinion at all. And as I say, Kev has for a long time been highly critical of Jack Ross, and I can totally understand why him and many others right now are frustrated. So thanks very much to Kev for those views. Next up, we're going to hear from Andy.
Well, what can you say about that? Sunderland Ipswich, absolutely terrible performance first half. And I don't think, although Jack Ross is saying we were better second half, I don't think we were. In 90 minutes or 94 minutes, you have one meaningful shot on goal. That's not a team that's going to light this division up and get automatic promotion. It still, Jack Ross doesn't know his best team, doesn't know his best formation. And I think myself and other supporters, patience is starting to wear thin. And I think realistically, Jack Ross must be looking over his shoulder now as to whether he's still got a job in a couple of months' time. Because, in my opinion, if we're not picking up results, and by results I mean wins, then in the very near future, then I think he's got to go. And I think even the fans that were saying last season we need stability, etc., etc., I think they'll come round to that idea, because keep drawing games isn't good enough. In isolation, a draw down at Ipswich, that would have been a great result, and could come in for a bit of benefit towards the end of the season. But our style of play and just everything about Sunderland at the minute is what I think. We actually look a weaker side than last year overall, and I think we're going to struggle with this manager. I think he lacks personality. He's dour and boring, the same way as Andy Murray wins Wimbledon and he comes out and he's very downbeat. Any of us had won Wimbledon, you'd be cock-a-hoop, you'd be shouting it from the rafters, but that's the way Jack Ross comes across. And if that's the way he comes across to us, is that being filtered through to the players, and they're bored, silly, and then we don't get the performances? But who do you bring in as a replacement? You know, we cut our cloth accordingly. We're in Division 1. I don't know who could really come in. You're not going to get a top-level manager coming in, despite us being potentially a big club. You know, the only ones for me I would possibly look at, Kevin Phillips, with an experienced coach with him. I think the fans would love that. and being a centre forward, I think he'd get given time. There's Ali McCoist. Again, that sentimentality doesn't really come into it there. He hardly played for us when he was 17 when he did. But he knows the big club atmosphere. He was at Rangers and he's got a personality. And I think that goes a long way. Or look at Paul Heckenbottom up at, I think it's one of the teams in Scotland, Kilmarnock. Sorry, no, Hibs. He did a great job at Barnsley. He's another option to me that we need to start looking at, because Jack Ross to me isn't the answer. So, you know, I think that the blame lies at his door and his coaching staff's door. We're not getting the best out of the players that we've got. And we have got some relatively good, talented players, but we're not using them and we're not getting the best out of them. And I read something this morning and I would go for him on a pay-as-you-play deal, Victor Anichebe. He's out there. He's saying he wants to come back. And I know he's got fitness issues, but to me, he's the man we need up front that can hold the ball up and can maybe bring Grigg and McNulty, our either-or, into the play a bit more. So for me, I think I'm very downbeat at the minute with the state of Sunderland Football Club. The owners have tried their best and I think they gambled that we would get promoted last year and it hasn't happened, and it's come home to roost that we haven't got a lot of money to spend. But there are players out there in the lower leagues. You've just got to have a good scouting network. Look at an example, Tyrone Mings, now playing for Aston Villa in the Premier League. He has been at Bournemouth, but he was a great youngster when he was at Ipswich. So there are players there. You just need to have the scouts that can pick them. And I don't think we have that either at Sunderland. So as much as I'm red and white through and through, I'm just a little bit concerned about the style of play at the moment and how we get round this and, you know, start charging up the league, which is where we all want, with some attacking football that gets us victories.
Thanks very much to Andy there for his thoughts. Another supporter quite down on Ross now, and I think you'll find that that is a growing trend now among many supporters. There are many questioning Ross now, and as we mentioned after Kev, totally fine to do that. Me personally, I'd be given a bit more time. Just a couple of points that Andy made there. One of the things he mentioned about Jack Ross was he's kind of dour nature, and I can understand it. I've certainly heard many people see it, but kind of just to offer that alternative view, if you like, spoke to Jack Ross before the playoff final last season. And he was asked about that. He was asked about kind of his leadership and the way he leads his teams, and he's aware of how emotional the game of football can be. But for the players on the pitch in particular, you can't let emotion come into it. He believes that you've got to keep you calm. Obviously, he was talking within relation to that one particular game where he wanted his players to play the game and not the atmosphere. But he was talking more generally as well, and he was saying, you know, for instance, himself on the touchline, you won't see him going crazy, you won't see him being too too active on the touchline, and that's because he feels that he should be calm as the leader of those players, and then those players will bounce his energy will bounce onto the players, if you like, and they will be calm as a result. He feels he has to be the example, if you like. So that's just a kind of insight there, an alternative to why Jack Ross isn't as animated as some perhaps would like. But yeah, I can certainly understand the view of Andy there. And just to pick up on another thing that Andy mentioned as well, I've seen the things myself as well on Victor Anichebe. Seems to stem from something on Instagram where Anichebe seems to have replied to a supporter suggesting that his phone was on if the club wanted to contact him. Obviously, the big thing there, and I mean, I'm sure it would be a popular signing, and Anichebe played only one season for Sunderland, and it was a very, very poor season that season under David Moyes in the Premier League. And despite that, he was a fairly popular player, I think it's fair to say, when he was fit. He certainly gave his all in a red and white shirt and became popular with many supporters. He was a very good player at that time. And obviously, he was released by Sunderland that summer, went out to China, and there's been a lot of kind of legal issues there with the club he was at in China, and he's been a free agent since leaving that club. And I know the kind of last update we had from NHB was that at the moment he was a free agent, but he couldn't sign for anyone until those issues were dealt with. Now, I haven't seen anything, any kind of conclusion to that, but I'm presuming, judging by what he said there on Instagram, that he obviously is now available to sign for a club. The big issue would be, as Andy mentioned, and as we know, anybody who watched NHB that season will know, he is slightly injury prone. And Andy mentioned perhaps pay-as-you-play, which could work. It could, if the player was willing to take it, of course. It remains to be seen, and I think that would be the big issue with whether or not that one could come off. It's certainly one I think Sunderland would be silly not to look at. But the big thing would be, what would Anichibi's wage demands be? Because, of course, as we know, Sunderland now this season are having to bring that wage budget down, which is why we've seen high earners like Lee Cattermole and Brian Oviedo leave this summer. It's because, to comply with AFL rules, Sunderland have had to cut that wage budget. It can only be 60% of their expected turnover for the season. But yeah, certainly I don't think it hurts to ask the question to NHB and NHB's representatives, how much would he want, how much would it require to bring him in? Because I think, as Andy says, I think if he can get him fit, he would without doubt offer something in that team. And I think with that there, I think now looking at the way that they're going to have to change the formation, as we've mentioned, I don't think three at the back's going to work. Perhaps looking at a 4-4-2 and building a partnership around, the big and little striker, that Niall Quinn, Kevin Phillips partnership that Sunderland had in the early noughties. You'd have kind of your two little men in Will Grigg and Mark McNulty, and you'd have your two big men in Anichibi and Charlie Wyke. So yeah, certainly it could be one to look at, but as we mentioned earlier in the podcast, I believe it was Carl who mentioned it, certainly the priority remains on getting some cover at left back, because poor Denver Hume has had a bit of a difficult start to the season. But anyway, thanks very much to Andy. Next up, we're going to hear from Alex.
So, 1-1 again, which is pretty amusing. Well, it's not actually that amusing, it's actually quite annoying. I defended Jack Ross for all of last season and all of pre-season, and I went out to Portugal to see us play, and I've watched the first two games of this season, and for the life of me, in 60 games of last season, and then I guess you could say let's say 7 including the preseason games that we played, well, the ones I've watched, it would be 4, so in 64 plus games, I can't notice an improvement at any point. In fact, we've got worse. I don't really know what to say anymore. It doesn't matter how much time I give him, really, because he'll get as much time as Stuart Donald wants him to get, which I anticipate will be 10 plus games. But I'm only personally giving him one more game of my time, because Portsmouth are going to absolutely destroy us. People said, we should be happy with the point against Ipswich. They're one of the best teams in the league. I even saw someone say they were the best team in the league. And while I appreciate that coming down from the Championship, you have to anticipate that teams will be good, Ipswich were not that good on Saturday. We were dreadful, like one of the worst I've ever seen us play, at least under Ross, in that first half. And Ipswich, they were so lacklustre going forward. They should have scored 3 or 4, and that's not exaggeration. They really should have done. So I don't think Ipswich are that good. I don't think okay, yeah, we should be happy with an away point, especially against a team that, you know, is supposed to be up there at the end of the season. But when you look at the performance and you look at it's the way we've played for 60 plus games under Jet Ross and there's been no progress, you really have to question whether he's the right man to take us forward. And as I said, he's got one game in my eyes. You know, that won't mean anything really. But Portsmouth are going to win the league, in my opinion, and we are going to play Portsmouth at home when we've played like that against Ipswich, and Portsmouth are going to destroy us if we don't. I don't even know what we have to do something. I'm really worried for Saturday, and on the evidence of the Ipswich game, which I don't have a lot to say about, we were dreadful for the first half and we were a bit better in the second half. It was a well taken goal, good effort from McNulty to get the ball, but apart from that, I don't think we're a good team, and we may well stay not a very good team and start getting results. But unless the performances change and unless we see a big improvement against Portsmouth, I'm afraid I'll be Ross out. And it pains me to say, because I really did anticipate giving him 10 plus games this season, but seeing the way we've played and just how not excited I am for the Portsmouth game, it's worrying when two games into the season you're already dreading Saturday. You know, that used to happen in the Premier League, fair enough, and even the Championship, but it's not meant to happen in League One. So yeah, let's hope for a massive improvement on Saturday.
Thanks very much to Alex there for his thoughts. I think that perfectly sums up just how bad the start has been. I know on paper some might see it, you know, as Alex mentioned, a draw at Ipswich, you maybe would have taken that, as we've mentioned before the season, but it's been so bad in terms of the performances as well. So even Alex, who on the grand scheme of things believed before the season that you wouldn't be thinking about that until at least 10 games in the season, is now thinking Portsmouth at home on Saturday, a very difficult game, as Alex points out, and that's going to be the last draw for him if things don't improve. So yeah, interesting. So thanks very much to Alex. Next up we have Phil.
Another 1-1 draw. It's getting a bit repetitive, to be honest. We're not losing, which is, I suppose, a slight consolation, but it's a very dangerous mentality to have, that we would turn around and just say, well, at least we're not losing. We need be looking at the top end of the league. And quite frankly, the way we're playing, it's only two games in, and I don't want to be doom and gloom, and I'll always be optimistic and hopefully things will turn around, but on the evidence of the last two games, it feels like we're in for a long season. And the biggest frustration for me, and I think I said this after the Oxford game as well, is I kind of went into the season thinking, you know, we'd learn from last season's mistakes. You can kind of give the benefit of the doubt that it was a new experience in League One last year, both physically, height-wise, lack of creation, it's still there from last season. It hasn't changed at all. And it really is a concern. For me, if the fit, Maguire and McGee have to be on the pitch from the start, if that's possible, because they're the most creative players by a mile. I know both of them can sometimes give the ball away, they can mess around with it, but they're our most creative players, simple as that, and we need them on the pitch. And I just, the thing that's frustrating me a bit with Jack Ross is just, I just can't get my head round how he hasn't even looked to change the identity of the team at all from last season. The identity of the team last year, we just exactly the same. And I really want to back Jack Ross. I don't want to be one of these that gets on his back and say he should get sacked or anything like that. I'm totally open to giving a manager capacity to get his team, find his place and kind of crack on with the season and give him that chance. And I mean, you only need to look at the last few years. Sacking managers does nothing for you in the long run. But he's really making it difficult to kind of have any sympathy for him at the moment. Just the way he's setting the team out. I don't think he knows his lineup. I know he's changed his formations round. I sit on the fence with regards to formations because in one breath it's concerning that he doesn't have a set formation. If he's keep changing his formations, then the players clearly from one game to the next don't know what they're required to be doing in terms of the setup and the tactics. But at the same time, there's an argument that he's good enough to and not stubborn enough to change what he thought at the start of the game to ultimately get us the best result possible. But yeah, if we do that again on Saturday, and if that keeps continuing to happen game by game, that we keep changing the formation because it's not working, that there lies a problem. I think the first two games, you can sit there and basically say, look, hasn't worked at the start, it's changed the formation round, 1-0 down in both games, we draw at 1-1. Not ideal, but, you know, change the tactics and we got through. But if he keeps changing it, that's concerning because then the players don't know where they're at. Jack Ross clearly doesn't know what's the best tactics with the players who the majority of them he's worked with for an entire season plus a whole pre-season, which is a bit concerning. But we'll see. I just feel as well, if he is going to play that formation from the start with the two wing-backs, we need a new left-back ASAP pretty much. I think Denver Hume, clearly in these first two games, he's clearly not up to it just yet. I wouldn't say he's not up to it, but clearly we need someone for left back because Hume's confidence is just going to decrease the way he's playing. But I would also turn around and say that I do think one of the reasons for Hume's poor form this season is the lack of support he gets from his left sided centre back, which is Tom Flanagan. For me, I see that him and Jack Baldwin both struggled near the end of the season, but I don't see what the insistence is on Flanagan constantly playing while Baldwin's not getting a look in at all. We even had Ozturk, who had quite a good end to the season last season, and I would even argue he could potentially play over Flanagan as well. Really kind of frustrating at the moment, and this Pompey game is a really big game in my opinion. It's a big game for the season based on the teams around us, or who we hope to be around anyway at the end of the season, but also because we need to start getting wins. It's as simple as that, to not only to start going up the league table, but also for the fans, the club in general, for kind of like the atmosphere around the place. We just need 3 points on the board ASAP, and I think no better team than Pompey to beat on Saturday, which will completely lift the mood. But for Jack Ross's sake, I worry, because I think if he doesn't start getting it together in the next few weeks, I think people are going to start getting a bit frustrated, and I do worry for him.
Thanks very much to Phil there for his thoughts. Yes, some very good thoughts there again as well. I think what he mentioned there about Denver Hume, I completely agree with. I think this kind of three at the back, five with your wing backs, really hasn't helped Denver Hume. He's a young lad. He's not yet played too much football at a senior level. He's come into the side in the season, being kind of tasked with, he's been told, you're going to be the main left back this season, and I don't think that should be abandoned just yet. He has had a bad start, two bad games, but I think he's been pushed up into this wing back role, and that hasn't helped him. And as Phil pointed out, Tom Flanagan has had a really bad start of the season, and he's kind of been the guy who's been there as Hume's cover, and that just hasn't come from Flanagan. So yeah, I agree. You need that competition on the left side. Sunderland are looking for someone else because just because he's a young kid and it might not his confidence, you can't have a situation where you're scared to drop him in case you're not his confidence. There does need to be that competition there. But I would still prefer that that competition that comes in isn't somebody who hampers Hume's development and kind of stops that. I hope that it is somebody who Denver Hume can still realistically challenge with for the starting left back, because I do think going forward Sunderland almost certainly need to go back to a back four, and once they do, Denver Hume always shined last season in a back four at left back, even in the, it was the Checkatrade Trophy final. I mean, that's a big stage, a Wembley final. He's coming off the bench. I believe he came off the bench with Sunderland 2-1 down, actually, and they were desperately looking for that equaliser, which they did in the end get, and it came from Denver Hume's cross into Charlie Wyke, and people might remember Wyke brought it down, laid off McGeady, who then fired in the late equaliser. So certainly, yes, he's young, but he's certainly proved in the past that he's got the right bottle, shall we call it, for it. I take the point from Phil. That certainly things need to change at the back there, and Hume hasn't been helped by Flanagan whatsoever. Anyway, from Phil, we're next going to hear from Michael.
This is sooner or later going to become the 1-1 podcast, isn't it? It's deja vu in terms of results, really, but the context of the game was... the context of the game was pretty similar. I thought the first hour against Ipswich at the weekend, we were awful. I felt that Ipswich was simply battling harder than we were. And I'm not going to say that the players didn't try, because I've mentioned in my YouTube video that I can't fault the players' commitment since Ross has came in, or since the new ownership have came in overall, when you compare to what we had in the Premier League and especially in the Championship, where players were pretty much bottling it every single week and not fighting for the shirt enough. I do kind of appreciate that this squad of players in general has given it more last season and then to an extent going into this season. And you could argue in both games that we've shown the fight in terms of coming back to getting the point when we're outplayed in both games, especially in the case today. But when you look at the stats, and I know stats can sometimes be misleading, but when you look at the stats, that's a fair reflection of the game. We only had one shot on target. We had three shots in total, according to the match report. And obviously the shot on target was the goal. Even then, you could argue Gooch would have been harder to miss than score. But then again, we would have given a good effort of it, wouldn't we? I thought that I'm trying to look on the positive side of it. McNulty did really well for the goal. He pressed the high line, got to the centre backs, pressed and won the ball off them, and then obviously did well to hold the ball up, bring Gooch into play, and then lay it on a plate for him. And obviously Gooch still had to do the rest. Who's coincident? And Gooch coincidentally is our top goal scorer now. However, I don't think the result against Ipswich was the problem. That result in isolation, if you take away the performance and you look at just that result on its own, that's a decent result, because I think Ipswich will be right up there at the end of the season. I think Ipswich will win the league at this moment in time, or at the very least, I think they'll definitely be in the top two. Certainly are at the very least in the top four. But for me, though, the big problem wasn't the win. That wasn't the result. It was more the performance. Like I said, last week against Oxford, I can't justify that result as a good one. If we'd have beaten Oxford last week, against Ipswich, I think there would have been put it this way. I think today's result would have been a lot more accepted had we beaten Oxford last week. But for me, I just think that it's now getting to the point where it's judgment day for Ross. And it's really bad to say that only two, three games into the season, you know, because the result isn't the problem. The performance was Ipswich battled and beat us to almost every 50-50 in the entire first hour of the game. And we struggled to create a meaningful chance apart from one where Gooch shot wide. And even then, that was a tame effort. Ipswich were very wasteful in front of goal. And you can say, although they didn't create many clear goal scoring, clear cut chances, they still should have probably, they might say they should have been out of sight. They were carving us open at times at will. We were way open at the back once again. And the biggest issue for me going into that first hour, what was the plan? What was the tactics? What was the system? What was the strategy? I don't get, right, Ross apparently started with one formation at the start of both of these games against Oxford and Ipswich, and then changed it midway through the match. Now, surely, if he could see that against Oxford, the system he tried to play, which I think was three at the back, and tried to play out loads from the back, or whatever it was, wasn't working, then why did he start with it today? Look at how... Now, don't get me wrong, the last half hour, I didn't think we were particularly good. But look how straight away, especially defensively, I thought we looked much more solid at the back when we went to four, when we went to, you know, a solid back line and actually had defenders just do their jobs. Willis looked much better. I felt that there was a more of a defensive structure. I think that 09 looked a bit better, you know, and that's what we need to do next week against Pompey. We need to just keep the game simple. And for me as well, if Ross starts Flanagan next Saturday, then I am, and I'm struggling right now to defend Ross, but I am, will really start to question Ross. If he puts Flanagan in next Saturday, when he's been shocking the first two games of the season, then I'm sorry, it just adds fuel to the fire in terms of Ross having his alleged favourites starting every single week. You know, like Gooch today was kind of back to his normal self in terms of dribbling with the ball, thinking he's Messi or Ronaldo of League One, not using his teammates, holding on to the ball too long, and then ultimately either wasting an opportunity or giving away possession needlessly. You know, come on, like Ross has now got to start delivering answers here. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to resort to Ross being sacked because, you know, I mean, I know for a fact, Sunderland, I would imagine, would at least give him half a dozen games to see how he starts this season. But everyone at the club knew fine well we had to start this season off strongly. And don't get me wrong, if we somehow go and win the next four games, and the fact I'm saying somehow win the next four games in League One is embarrassing. But nevertheless, if we were to win the next four games, long shot at the moment, I know, then all of a sudden things look a lot rosier. But you look at next week against Pompey, who just got their first win today against Tranmere. It's not good enough. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, like I said, the result isn't the problem in isolation. The performance is. And again, we have got to see an improvement in performance. For me, next Saturday, forget Accrington in the Cup. I couldn't give two hoots about that game. We've got to prioritise solely and squarely on getting out of League One. We've got to put absolutely everything into the Pompey game, because Pompey will probably be our toughest test yet. Pompey like to make the game strong and physical and make it a battle. And if we do not get aggressive in their faces the same way they will do to us, we will probably get slaughtered. Or at the very least, I struggle to see us getting anything out of the game. So, you know, Ross needs to make the game simple for the players next week, instruct them heavily during the week what their roles are, what their jobs are, what the responsibilities are, and go from there and get forwards and be a little bit more aggressive, because we were so lightweight against Ipswich. Anyway, I've rambled on enough. Apologies that my quality probably hasn't been very good, but I shall see you all later. Take care.
Thanks very much to Michael there for his thoughts, very impassioned there, and some very good points, I think, particularly on Ross. And, you know, like Michael, I've defended Ross myself, as you've heard earlier in the episode, and I do still think, for now, we should be defending him. As Michael says, we could now see Sunderland go on a run where they win four or five games in a row and suddenly things don't look too bad. And you could, if you do win the next five games, instead of looking and thinking, oh, you drew the first two games, you're looking and seeing you're seven unbeaten in the first seven and for the season. That's how quickly things can change in football, but right now it's all ifs and buts, of course. At this moment in time, Sunderland have had a bad start of the season, and I think Michael is absolutely spot on that we do need to start seeing some changes. Some things do definitely have to change. So yeah, thanks very much to Michael. I'll just to help Michael out as well. He mentioned his YouTube video there and what he was referring to. I'm not sure if many of you have seen it yet. Hopefully you have seen it. This new YouTube channel and obviously on all social media, Twitter as well. SCFC Fans TV has been set up ahead of this season, and Michael's a part of that. It's a really interesting concept, very much like this. Fans air their opinions after games. And so yeah, definitely go and check out SCFC Fan TV. And yeah, thanks very much to Michael for his contribution again today. And last up today, our final fan of the episode is Chris.
Okay, so I'm going to try and keep this one short, because I'm actually sitting around a pool in Mallorca, but I did manage to catch the match yesterday. What can I say? Start with our formation again. Different personnel this time. Put 09 there, and yeah, kind of. I guess his post comments where he said that, you know, players didn't really. They totally let them down. They didn't do what they should have done. So, yeah, I get that. And people could say, well, that's not the formation. That's actually just the players. You know, they could have been playing 4-4-2. And if they've not got the application, they're not running about, they're not chasing people down, they're not taking chances, they're not making movement, not making the runs. There doesn't, the formations, you know, doesn't matter. I've also seen a few journalists who point out that people are criticising Ross for having a plan B and changing tactics instead of being stubborn with it. My counter argument with that would be, well, he has been stubborn from the very beginning by playing a formation that doesn't work. And the players that he's asking to play that formation is uncomfortable. Now, I don't know whether Jack Ross, from where he's been in terms of St Mirren and places like that, where the expectations are so low, probably, I might be doing a disservice, but if the expectations are so low that he's allowed to experiment, he's allowed 10 games to come to fruition, and it might be, you know, 10 games time, we're all saying this formation's fantastic, it's the best football we've seen, you know, it just took a while to get going and we've had a really strong season and get promoted. But he's under that much pressure at the minute, I just feel as though it's better and safer to go with a 4-4-2. So it is really difficult. He's put himself in not a silly position, because you've got to give him kind of kudos for trying something new, but just the players just look so alienated playing that formation. And then you've got, you know, players that shouldn't be playing, like Flanagan shouldn't be in that team at the minute, Ozturk should be, but then Willis looks like he's getting injured, so you worry we're about to having Flanagan in just because we need to. Where's Baldwin? He looked like the best ball playing centre half last season, so if we're trying to play it out from the back, how come he's not getting a game? It just seems a bit strange. We're desperate for a left back, obviously, but then again, does Hume just need to play a left back on a 4-4-2? If not, then we need to get a wing back. I don't know. Second half was obviously a bit better. You've got to be pleased to come away from Ipswich with a point, especially we could have probably been about 4-5-0 down at half time. So there is some positives there, but for me, the negatives from the beginning far away those positives. Obviously, if we come on with a 4-1 defeat, 3-1 defeat, or anything like those lines, they'd be absolutely hell on. I just think you need to go a bit back to basics. Massive game against Portsmouth, so we'll see what happens there.
Thanks very much to Chris there for his thoughts. How's that for dedication, sending his audio while round the pool in Mallorca? Not only dedication, but also making me feel insanely jealous of him. I wish I was sitting round a pool in Spain right now. But yeah, thanks very much to Chris, and thanks very much to all of our guests on today's podcast. Next up for Sunderland, Tuesday night, Accrington Stanley in the AFL Cup, Carabao Cup. We won't do a fan reaction podcast for that, I think. I think a couple of fans have mentioned it, Adair. Sunderland's priority is the league. Hopefully that is used, I think, personally, as a means of bringing certain people in. You know, the likes of Chris Maguire need some minutes in the legs after not having much in pre-season. McGeady might benefit from it, although he did play at the weekend, so perhaps better to rest him up for Portsmouth on Saturday. But the likes of Baldwin's been mentioned a couple of times with Flanagan's bad form, Ozturk needs some minutes, these kind of players who I personally think should be coming in and playing the Accrington game. But we'll return next week for a fan reaction podcast, which will be after the Portsmouth game. As it's been mentioned a few times in this episode from the fans, it really does feel like a big game now for Sunderland and certainly for Jack Ross. So yes, thanks very much for listening, thanks very much to the fans for contributing, and as I say every week, if you'd like to get involved yourself with the podcast, that is absolutely fine. We're always welcome new fans with new ideas and new views. The way to get involved with the podcast, simply send myself, Craig Johns, a message on WhatsApp. The number to do that is 07742 0558. 8-0. Yeah, send me a message, tell me you're interested, and then doesn't have to be after every game. If you don't manage to catch every game, that's absolutely fine. Contribute as and when you wish. But yeah, a bit of audio after every game, just giving your point of view on it. Or giving general views today. You know, a lot of the views have been about Jack Ross's management in general, and that's absolutely fine. As I say, we always welcome new contributors to the podcast. So yeah, thanks very much for listening. Thanks very much to the guests, and let's hope next week after Portsmouth we've got something a bit more positive to talk about. Cheers.